Thank you, Lord. We used to have a saying that I learned in school, so it's an old school saying. It goes way back, and it says, because a lot of times kids would come up against something that was trying to be taught, and maybe it was long division in an elementary school, or whether it was calculus as you go a little bit further, but they would say things like, I can't get this, I can't understand this, and I had a teacher that would say, can't, couldn't do anything. And back in elementary school, we talked about the little engine that hit a hill, a little steam engine that didn't get up a head of steam before hitting that hill. And on the way up, it almost thought it couldn't make it. And listen, I know it's elementary, dear Watson, but I want to tell you something today. Every Christian is going to hit those steep places in your life. Amen. And we need to understand God has given us a provision, and we need to appropriate it in our life. Because if we don't, we're going to try to do it in our strength, and we're going to end up not only giving up and giving in and giving over, we're going to end up blaming God for not being faithful to us. And He's faithful to supply what we need. Amen. And what we need is not always what we think we need, but what He knows that we need. So the scripture said in the area even of giving, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Because they had sacrificed, they had given out of their own need, they were assured through the Apostle Paul that God would meet their need. Can you say amen? Well, that's the law of sowing and reaping. But what we're talking about here is simply depending on God and trusting Him with your whole heart. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. There was a battle when you entered into the kingdom of God. And the Bible said we have been translated out of the one who brought the pressure against you coming to Christ. Out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You didn't have to push through, but you had to will and believe. God will not save anyone against their will. When you wanted to be saved and put your trust in Christ, all the minions of hell couldn't keep you from coming to Jesus. Amen? Amen? If you're a Christian today, hell stood up against you coming to Christ. Amen? But the devil lost that battle. He lost it because the moment you willed to be saved and you put your trust in Christ for salvation, hell couldn't hold you any longer. Amen. So blaming the devil for holding us back from anything, that old dog won't hunt anymore. If you will to serve God, God will give you the grace and the strength that you need to serve Him. But He will not force your will. So you've got to want this, and you've got to want it more than sin and more than defeat, and you've got to want victory more than pity. Amen. Let me tell you something about your flesh and mine. My flesh loves to be pitied when I'm hurting. And there are people hurting that would rather have pity than victory. But if you're in a hole, I hope you run upon somebody that's on top of that hole that you're in. That won't just say, I'm so sorry for you down in that hole. I know you're going to die down there. No water, no food, no nothing. I'm so sorry for you. Bless your heart. Throw me a rope. Come on. Go get a ladder. Call 911. If you can't do it, get the fire department out here. Somebody pull me out. Throw me a rope. But now if I throw you a rope and you won't take hold of it, a rope ladder, and you won't climb it, a life preserver, and you won't reach out and take it, it's not God anymore failing you. Amen? Amen. You don't need pity. You need victory. Amen. Pity is for victims. And we're supposed to be victors. Amen. You say, but Brother Venable, my faith is so small. You know what Jesus said about it? It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Of your faith. Well, what quantifies faith? What gives it quality? Well, where did he say that? I got 8 sermons going here in my head and 1 in my heart. So I'm going to go with the 1 in my heart. But Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, it's got to be the quality. You can't, if you get it smaller than that, you can't even see it. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And There's a mountain of opposition, a mountain of difficulty. If you had faith, and it's got to be the quality. If you, everybody say quality. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you say, now this sounds like it's going to take a lot of faith, and you say to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the midst of the sea, and doubt not in your heart that what you said just then is going to happen. It'll obey you. That's what Jesus said. Everybody say Jesus said. Because I can tell when I say that, you're not ready to receive. So I want you to know that Jesus is the one who said. Amen. I'm repeating Jesus. Now that's not putting us in control, because listen, let's talk about the quality of faith, not the quantity. Somebody says, build your faith that big and you can make mountains move. I saw a book one day written by a pastor that I really admire, but I don't like the title of it. And I'm sure he didn't mean it the way that, but when I saw the title, because it said mountain moving faith, I thought, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. You know what's wrong with it? Because it's not faith that moves mountains. Faith allows God to move. And mountains move because he acts on it. And the only reason you can tell a mountain to move and not doubt in your heart that it's going to do what you said is because he's already spoken. Amen. If you know the will of God and you know the word of God and you know God has already addressed that, you can tell it to move. But it's not your authority that is moving the mountain. It's his authority. Can you say amen? Because that scripture begins with, have faith in God. And the people who are talking about the quantity of faith will misinterpret it to say, have the faith of God. And that puts you and the size of your faith determining what you can accomplish or God can accomplish with you. That's not how it is. Amen. God is looking. You said it today. We feel inadequate. We're not inadequate with Jesus. Amen. Let the weak say, let the poor say, I am rich. Praise God. Let Paul say what he's about to say here. Listen to it. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. On the subject, let the weak say I'm strong. Listen, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. Isn't that incredible? And the reason that he found contentment in any state he was in, even though some of those situations weakened him emotionally, physically, and could have spiritually, is because of what he's about to say right now. I can. Let's try that. I can. I can do all things through Christ. Qualify it. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm so glad today I don't have to be strong in myself. The Bible said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Paul said, our sufficiency is of Christ. Can you say amen? And those Peter and John, Peter said, why look upon us that by our power, Holy Ghost anointing, or holiness, this man stands before your home. It wasn't our power innate to us, our holiness that granted this. It was the man you hung on the tree that God has raised from the dead that gave him his perfect soundness before you all. Jesus did that. Amen. It was in a name that we ministered to this man. And God honored the authority of that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The prayer of faith was in the prayer of faith. Faith in who? Our faith in God will save the sick. And who raises them up? The anointing on the person praying? No, God raises them up. Can you say amen? Amen. That's why he told Zerubbabel, the mountain that stands before you. He gave him something to accomplish. He saw a mountain of opposition. He saw a mountain in the way. He's a man with a mountain in the way, with a mandate from God to do something for God, but there's a mountain in the way. And he's stymied and looking at that mountain. How can I accomplish this? See, I can't. Was about to come out of his mouth. And God spoke to him to change that I can't from an I can through God. You know what God told him? The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If God tells me to do something and there's a mountain in the way, he's not going to give me a shovel. Thank you for the little hand clap and a few amens and some of the strange looks. What can I do with a shovel? Oh, I can dig. We're talking a mountain here and a shovel. Do you want it moved before you come, Jesus? You want it moved before you call me home, Jesus? Then we'll need more than this shovel. I'm going to give out. I'm going to give up. Mountain ain't going to feel it. But when God acts on it, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. That mountain that stands before you shall become as a flame. We were talking in one of our pastor's meetings about some of these great books written on church growth. Every one of them has a principle and a program. You know what I said? What happened? What happened to the Lord adding to the church daily such as should make the number count and get the offering? No, such as should be saved. Where did they come from? How did they get there? The Lord brought them. The Lord sent them. That don't mean we don't go into the highway and hedge. It doesn't mean we don't share the gospel. It means we go with the anointing and appointing of the Holy Spirit. We don't go in our flesh because our flesh is weak. And we try to subsidize it. There's a mega church that has all those undedicated people. You know what? Why there's so many undedicated people in it? Because they have over 1,000 events on a calendar year. There's something for everyone to entertain. There's something to get you off your duffer. Anybody, can I say duffer in church? Amen. I already did. Forgive me, Lord. Off your duffer and out to church. Can you say amen? And it isn't the cross necessarily. And it isn't Christ himself. And it isn't the goodness of God. It's something going on that entices me to be there. But if you think you're going to have devotion to give out of people coming for the entertainment, there's no disciple of Jesus there. And he didn't just say, go get people in a building. He said, go and make disciples unto me out of all nations, teaching them to observe and to do whatsoever I have commanded you. Amen. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? They don't just go to church. They follow Jesus. When church is over, they're followers of Christ. And the first prerequisite for a disciple is not self-indulgence. It's self-denial. Today we're in the day of the self-indulgent gospel. What can God do for me? What will he do for me? I'll come to church if you keep telling me what he owes me and what he's obligated to do for me. Instead of look what he's done for me, what can I do for Jesus? Can you say amen? After all he's done for me, what can I do for Jesus Christ? Can you say amen? I want to make it clear again. I came to the Holy Church of God way back in 1974. 73, 74. That's a long time back now. Amen. You can go into old-fashioned shops and find stuff from that era. Amen. They're collectible. Amen. And when I came, I was as green as the grass in the springtime. Amen. I'd never been a pastor in my life. This is going to be brand new to me. I'm glad I didn't know what it involved. I might have been more hesitant. I might have headed for Tarshish. Can you say amen? I thought everybody's going to embrace me. Everybody's going to love me because I'm carrying the gospel now. Brother Norman is shaking his head. Brother, I'm glad that somebody here can understand what I'm saying. Amen. That meant I'm going to be the one that's on the hook. The buck is going to stop with me. The blame is going to be given me. Whether guilty or not, I'm always going to get the blame. Amen. Criticized. Lied on. Talked about. Fiery darts. Not only did witches come and try to voodoo hoodoo and put a curse on us, but we had people in the church that would have liked to saw us destroyed. These were people that carried the flag of Christianity. Yes, sir. I thought, I understand it from that warlock there. I understand it from that witch doctor in Haiti. Amen. That warlock. Amen. I don't understand it from Christian people. Now, enough of that, because if I get off on that, I'm going to miss this. And I could go on and on. Hallelujah. That's when I stand up at pastors' meetings. Some of them actually listen. It's hard to minister to pastors. They know everything. But some of them stop and listen, because I have survived for 40 years and I still have the victory. And I still love Jesus. And I'm still preaching the gospel. Can you say amen? Our marriage is 40 years. Our marriage has survived 50 years in May the 18th. Hallelujah. It's been 50 years. So when I tell them I have been a pastor for 40 years. And it don't bother me at all. And they start grinning, and I say, I got that tick after 39 years. But it'll go away after a while, and I'll talk to you. Can you say amen? I don't have a book about it, but because I don't need to write a system, amen. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. Can you say amen? Once you discover the will of God, and once I discover the will of God, and we see the mountain in the way of the will and purpose of God, not our will, our purpose, what we think, but what we know that we know that we know is the will of God, we are authorized by the Lord to speak to, not speak to Him about it anymore, but to speak to the mountain. The power is not in our words. The power is in His word and His spirit and His authority. But the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Listen to it carefully. I think it's Hebrews 13. Is there 13 chapters in Hebrews? Thank you. It must be verse 5 then. Pastor was preaching online to his congregation. He said, Anyway, it was John's gospel. It was one of the gospels that doesn't have 17 chapters. Matthew, Mark, probably. Mark 16 is the end of it. All right. He said, I want everybody in here to go home and read Mark chapter 17. So his whole congregation went home. And some of them found out there ain't no 17th chapter in the book of St. Mark. But a lot of them did what a lot of people do. They didn't go home read nothing. So they came back next Sunday and he got them. He said, how many people went home like I asked you and read the 17th chapter of St. Mark? Half the congregation raised their hand. He said, now I want to bring you my message on honesty. He said, there ain't no 17th chapter in the Gospel of St. Mark. Folks, it's real important that we balance our faith, but it's real important that we use our faith. There are mountains in the way that need to be not talked about, but need to be spoken to. Hebrews 13:5. He hath said. Everybody say it with me. He. See, here's how this works. Listen to it carefully. The Bible said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you. I can tell the foreman on a job. You know how I can tell the foreman? The biggest bunch of keys belong to the head man what in charge. We might call him the head honcho. My son gets things all mixed up. I got to have a long talk with that boy. He says the head poncho. And I thought, I know there's a lot of Mexican people here, but all of them are not foremen. Can you say amen? So it's not necessarily a poncho. It's the head man that's in charge. He's got keys. If you've got authority, you can have a key. People that go and clean at night in a doctor's office, they've got a certain degree of authority and honesty and integrity because they got the key. They can go in. They can come out. He said, here's how the keys to the kingdom, the authority within the kingdom, under God's rule, not man's rule, but God's authority work. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In other words, what I have authorized, thy will be done in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. What you have already authorized, we are authorized to speak it in faith in His power to accomplish it. Not our innate power, His power. Terry, if I wrote you a check for $10,000 and I endorsed it, you would be authorized now to take that check to the bank. And they're already authorized by my signature to cash it. As a as Mr. T said so eloquently, I pity the poor fool that would take my check for $10,000. Well, this is not me who you know and know don't have that kind of money to just ride out. But if I was a millionaire, if I was Bill Gates, a billionaire, and I wrote you a check for $10,000. To him, that's nothing. It ain't nothing to him. And you know he's got it all. He has it all. Amen. In the physical material world. And I wrote you a check for $10,000. And the moment I put my signature on that check, it only requires one more thing. It's your signature. You got to sign it. It's written to you. It's when you come alongside and put your... Come on, it takes two signatures to cash that bad boy. It takes his and yours. Come on. He said the kingdom is like this. Amen. I speak it. Then you've got to come alongside me. Hebrews 13:5 says this. He hath said. There's the first signature. He hath said. He hath said. What did Jesus say? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. That's quoting what he said. He has said that, hasn't he? He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we might sit back and say, well, that's all well and good, but No. That we might endorse that. Amen? That we might, come alongside in faith and in agreement. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say.
Say what?
What he has said. The Lord is my helper. Because of what he said, I say, the Lord is my helper. I can do all things. Because he said, I'll never leave you. I can do all things. I say that. Why? Because he has said, my grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, I can go through this. I can conquer this. I can overcome this through Christ who strengthens me to accomplish what he said he wants me to do and to be. Can you say? Woo! Amen. I had to get a can-do when God called me to preach. I'm a natural introvert. When I was in 12th grade English, I had a desperate fear, and that was of an oral report. And our English teacher said to graduate the 12th grade, you must give an oral report. No, I'm sorry, 10th grade. 10th grade. 10th grade English. I'll never forget it. I got physically sick. I got physically sick at the thought of standing. Can you imagine the preacher that's looking you in the eye right now and making you cover your ears because of my enthusiasm, getting physically sick to stand up before a group of my peers and just saying something about a book I read? And I got sick. She said, no one, because she knew people didn't like to give oral reports. It's one of the worst things that adults have now is speaking publicly, one of the great fears of adults. And I remember the day that they were going to do it. She said, you can't get the final credit you need to graduate this class. You can't be promoted unless you give it, because there's a lot of people balking about it. So she said, across the board. And I thought, my goose is cooked. I'm going to the 10th grade and no further. This is where it's all going to stop right here. And I got sick. And I remember sitting with my head down. I mean, I was sick. This teacher was strict, and she was a girl. But she was tough as nails about that. Amen. And she was strict, and I'm sitting there, and I said, I wasn't praying. I wasn't a prayerful person yet. I mean, you know, we all pray. If you think your kids don't pray, final exams, they are. Yeah, people pray. But anyway, they may not qualify to pray, but they pray anyway. But I'm just sitting there. And she saw it. It struck a chord in her. Amen. She saw me. I must have looked pale. And you know, she came to me. And she said, come here. Oh, boy, it's my turn. Oh, Lord. She could see I was trembling. I mean, I might have fainted. I might have fainted dead away. I just stood up there and said, well, I read this book about... Bust my head on the floor, disrupt the class, go to the clinic. She saw it on me. She saw I was pale. I was sweaty. I wasn't just putting on. I wasn't trying to get out of work. And she said, Robert, she said, could you write me 10 pages about that book? I said, ma'am, if I don't have to give an oral report, I'll write you 100 pages. I'll write you as many pages as you want, but I can't stand up there. Come on, I'm a big old teenager playing football, but when you get me in front of people, all that's gone. I could stand by a man three times my size. I was a right guard before they named the deodorant that. Can you say, man, this is way back in the day. I was a right guard on the football team, defensive guard. You don't put a little fellow like me at defensive guard unless he's mean, brother. Amen. I thought I was mean. I'm the man. And every time I brought a big man down because I'd hit him down on his knees, I wouldn't go chest to chest with him. Ain't none of this macho stuff for me. Grab him around them legs. Them legs, he trying to hit me with his chest. I'm down there, got to hold him by the knees like that. He can't run with me hanging on both of his legs. He goes down. And they holler out there at the football field on the big PA, Robert Venable, number 53, in on the tackle. And I get up and say, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. Because my girlfriend was in the stands. Her daddy was in the stands. It wasn't Pamela yet. I'd have really cut a shine if Pamela had been there. But you put me up, you put me on a football field, ain't a man out there I was afraid of. Got my nose busted. A guy elbowed me through my helmet and busted my nose. Got my jaw. I don't know what happened to it, but it sat that way for about a week before I could eat. I had to eat soup because I couldn't chew because a guy hit a friend of mine, and I jumped out there and shoved him and said, if you want to hit somebody, hit me. Threw my helmet off on the ground. And he did. You ever seen in a cartoon or a funny book, somebody gets hit, they see all those little bright lights? They're real. I saw them and it wasn't funny either. But they all knew, he's bad. You might beat him, but you're going to have to fight him because he ain't going to back up. He ain't going back down. And I got the scars to prove it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When you stand me up in front of an audience, I got weak as water. And there I was, and that teacher picked up on that, and she said, if you'll write me 10 pages, I'll exempt you from the oral report today. And don't even try to explain it to the other kids. When they came to her, she told them, that young man is sick. Amen. He can't do it. So when I was down praying after I gave my heart to Jesus, the next Sunday I was back the same place. Amen. Yeah. And the revival was going on, and a young man walked down, and I didn't see nobody else go down. And I run right down and I put my hand on him, and I just agreed in prayer. He was praying the sinner's prayer, and I was agreeing, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I'd never heard God speak to me in my life, speak directly to me. And I heard God speak to me, and he said, I'm going to strengthen thy voice. And I thought, boy, that'll be nice, because I'm so timid and backward. God's going to give me a big booming voice.
Well, he did that too.
No, that was in me all the time. It's just that I was backward and introverted. And you don't talk like this when you're backward and introverted. And it wasn't that voice. It meant he was going to anoint me to preach the gospel. The last thing that I ever dreamed when I surrendered my life to Christ. I surrendered all of it, not part of it, anything you want of me, because I knew he would never want me, of all people, to do that pastoring, preaching stuff. That's not me. Not only because the only way I knew how to confront people was to try to sucker punch them because of my size. I mean, if you come and look like you wanted to fight, I wanted to hit you first. Because I knew if you got me first, you'd probably win. But maybe if I got you first, I could get on top of you. Get you in a full Nelson or something. Choke you out. I'm going to have to deal with people face to face, eye to eye. I still don't like it, Brother Taylor. I hate to be the disciplinarian. And sometimes I have to as a pastor. I have to call people down, sit people down. I have had to ask people to leave. I've had to take them to the door. And that's not my normal me. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Why would God call someone that's backward and introverted to do something that you need to be up front and forward? Why would he call you to lead when really you really just want to follow? Because that's what qualifies you in his mind to lead. He told Saul, when you were little, in your own eyes, I made you a king over Israel. But now that you're a big shot, self-confident, not dependent on me, your kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to somebody else. God's not looking for a natural leader, because he wants a supernatural one. And you can't have that anointing if you feel adequate in yourself. Can you say amen? Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. I'm afraid sometimes that I'm going to be asked a question. I'm afraid. See, in my early years, I was afraid they're going to ask me a question that I can't answer. And I'm going to be stumped. I'm theologically literate that something might stump me. And boy, if I'm stumped, what do I say? Some of you are afraid to witness, afraid somebody's going to hit you with some question. Forget, just share your testimony. Just lift up Jesus. They need Jesus. They don't need a theological, amen, study in all of the theology. Essentially, they need Christ. Amen. Woman at the well didn't have a degree in theology, but she met a man. Hallelujah. And you know what her testimony was? Come and see a man. Can Jesus do what he said? Yes, he can. Can we boldly say what he said he would do? Amen. Is he? Yes, we can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, I'm going to strengthen your voice. I'm going to strengthen your voice. And I stopped praying. I sat up and I looked for the voice that told me that. And there was nobody. And then I realized there was no voice on the outside. There was a voice on the inside. But the voice was so loud on the inside. And oh, there's many situations that I've had to pray and get down in the Word of God and search the Scriptures and fast. I'd give anything to hear Him speak that clearly to my spirit. But then I wouldn't have to pray and get in the Word and fast and seek. Stand under trees. Here I am. I am what I am. There are people that would rather be in a line where prophecies are given than to be in a Bible study. They don't have time for a Bible study, but you get a big line where people are prophesying over people, they will wait for 1 hour to get a prophecy and won't spend 10 minutes in the study of the Word. In a real flabby spiritual shape in Pentecost. I'm not talking about others. In the Pentecostal movement, people would rather have a word from the Lord through a prophet than to have the word of the Lord. And honey, in these days of false prophets in the earth, you better get the word of the Lord first, and then you test what the prophet is saying. Amen. We need that. We need that foundation. Even if an angel, oh, but this person is so close to God. If an angel come with another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. How do you know it's another gospel? Because you've got this one under your belt. Amen. Paul said, and if you get a letter from us, if we reverse what we've already told you, you don't even listen to Paul anymore or Peter or James or John. Jesus is the one you need to keep your eyes on. He's going to be your judge. Listen carefully. So, we have to get out of this, I can't. Because there's two mistakes we can make. We can say, I can in our strength, our intelligence, our ingenuity. And then we leave God out. Disqualify ourselves from grace and from His strength. On the other hand, we can say, I can't because I'm not as spiritual. I don't have enough faith. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. How do you know you got that much? Because you got saved. You got saved. Didn't you? How many are saved? You got saved. And it is by grace through faith. And to every man without exception. That's why everybody's got the faith to believe the gospel. Because to every man that's born a woman is given the measure of faith. How much did He give us? Enough that all of hell's minions couldn't hold you back when you decided to come. Can you say amen? Wow. Amen. If hell could have stopped you, you wouldn't be saved. Because through much tribulation, pressure was against you to come to Christ, but when you decided to come, Holy Spirit swept that aside and brought you into God's kingdom, snatched you out of the power of darkness, put you into the kingdom of God. Something supernatural occurred the day you were born from above. Hallelujah. And the supernatural is still occurring, because the Bible said now it's God that worketh in you. Wow. Can you tell it? No, because a lot of people are still saying, I can't. They won't agree with him on anything. He's spoken and we won't speak. He's already signed the check and we won't endorse it. And we're complaining about our poverty. I'm not talking about physical and material. I'm talking about spiritual, mental, emotional. I can! His grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
He said, I'll never leave you, that we might what?
Oh.
Say, Lord, where are you? Go with our feelings instead of the facts. That we might boldly say. I mean, know when you boldly say it, you speak different. I know. The Lord is my help. Don't worry about quoting the scripture verbatim. If you get the essence of it, then you can boldly say it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we might boldly say, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, that we might boldly say what? In light of what we know he said. The Lord is my helper. I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. Whoop me, you'll have to whoop him first. I'm not talking about physically. Don't call me out. Brother Norman, don't take me outside. You're bigger than I am. Can you say? I'm kidding with you, of course. You know what I'm talking about. There are people that call me to fight. Pastor friend of mine, a guy called him outside and said, get up out of that desk. Come on out here. Another pastor friend of mine, he called them out. Yeah, he needed deliverance. He had never pastored before. He was an evangelist. He evangelized for 20-something years. Decided to pastor a church. Although now.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see. He just got through preaching a revival, and he said, I am dead to myself. I am dead to what people think of me. I'm dead with Christ, buried with Christ, raised up in resurrection power. I'm dead. I'm graveyard dead. I'm double dead. He said, go down to the funeral home, and there's a man in a casket. Go up there and stick a pin in his toe. It won't bother him at all because he's a dead man. I'm a dead man, yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives in me. He decided to become a pastor. And his flesh resurrected. He hit him and run. He didn't have to face them next Sunday and the next Sunday. I'm not talking about you guys, but you know what I'm saying. You've been there. You know what they... And he said... Yeah, they traded us for him. Yes. That was my first and only time that the church decided... they really didn't decide. One guy that run the church decided that. The greatest thing they ever did was get rid of me. They got him. Hallelujah. He lasted for about 3 months. But anyway, he told me, he said, Brother Bob, he said, five of them come in the office. See, they was going to give him what they'd give me, but he wasn't going to take it. He said, five of them come in my office. Now, I knew some of these guys that went in his office. One of them called me on the phone because they found out what they had and they didn't appreciate what they got rid of until they had what they had. And he said, I think he's got a demon. I said, excuse me? He said, I think he's got a demon. I said, you mean a demon? He said, that's right, a demon. Well, I understand. I'm getting it. He said, we're going to have a church meeting. He said, I'm taking my gun. I told him, I said, man, you don't take a gun to a church meeting?
You can't shoot a demon.
Come out. I'll shoot you. Well, what's he going to do? He just won't kill the pastor. Listen, I mean, people get seriously messed up. I think he's got a demon. I said, don't take your gun, for heaven's sakes, pray. Keep a Christ-like spirit. We don't want two demons. So he told me about the meeting. By the way, the guy didn't take the gun because I shamed him so bad about even thinking about it. Church meetings can get heated. And so anyway, they came in. He said when they came in, He said, I was thinking to myself. And I thought, that's the first thing that's going to mess you up. Amen. I was just thinking to myself. And he said, I thought, he's a pretty big guy. He said, if you hit the big one, the rest will flee. That's why. Hit the big one first and the rest will flee. So now I want to know the rest of the story. He's already intrigued me. I thought, well, is this how you deal with? Come on, I'm a young guy. I don't know how you deal with stuff. Is this how we do it? Hit the big one, the rest of them will run? I hit the big one out there on the football field. He didn't run. He hit me back. I mean, there's got to be more to this. Except the Lord build the house. They that labor are doing it all in vain. Except the Lord keep the city. They that wake and watch, they watch in vain. But when the Lord builds the house, when the Lord builds the church, when the Lord builds the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you, there's a real church. There's a genuine church. There's an uncompromised church. There's a Bride of Jesus Christ church. Amen. And it's not a denomination. It's not in one building. It's not an organization. It's an organism. Those that have washed their robes, made them white, denied themselves, taken up their cross, and committed to follow Jesus Christ. This is a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. And I want to be part of that number that through much tribulation have come into the holy city. Because we can overcome. We can be what God calls us to be and do what God calls us to do. Let's try an I can today that's not just an exercise in empty words. I can do what God says I can do. Can we make that a testimony here before we leave? I can do what God says I can do. Don't look at yourself. Look at Him and Him alone. I can do, based on the Scripture, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can preach the gospel. And let me tell you something about that as we get ready to close. Brother Norman stood before congregations. You know what it's like. Sometimes they're open and receptive, and sometimes it's a ping pong ball. Harder you hit it against the wall, the harder it's going to come back at you. And I've had a lot of back at yous in my life. So I don't even take opportunities to preach unless I really believe God's in it and somebody's going to receive it, because I don't just go to hear myself speak. Amen. I don't listen to my tapes. There are tapes I probably need to listen to for the principle involved, but not because of the preacher that's preaching it. Amen. I'm not doing this to stroke my own ego. I don't have to preach to love God and to serve Him, but He called me to preach, and I come to fulfill a calling. God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Can you say amen? Because, honey, I was the least you'd ever pick for it. But God decided. He saw something in my heart that you'll never see. None of you will ever see it. But God saw it.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And I'm here preaching today because I can do what He called me to do. Because whatever He calls me to do, He strengthens me to do. Can you say amen? And part of that strength is not just the power of the anointing. Don't mix it up. Paul said, His grace is sufficient. When I'm weak, I'm made strong because of the supporting grace that undergirds me. I was going through nervous exhaustion. If you've never been there, don't even get me started. I was going through that years ago, and I had to take care of a funeral, and it was hard to do anything when you were in such a state. I remember a church member was waiting outside, and my wife talked to him, and he said, when I came out, there comes a strong man. Well, he was right spiritually, but if he only knew what I was facing, what I was going through, how weak I was in me. But when I'm weak in me and look to Him, I've never had Him to fail me. I wouldn't be here today if I was dependent on the anointing to preach alone and not the sufficiency of grace. When I am weak, then am I made strong because He just keeps infusing more power than my... No, because He grants this grace to me. It's in the context of sufficient grace, not anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? His strength was due to sufficient grace. The anointing was to preach with, to pray with, to work with for God. Amen. Miracle working ability is not what sustains your spirit. It's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. My grace is sufficient for you. A missionary, I read his story recently. Wherever he went and his wife, his dear wife, went with him, she felt the call as strong as him. First thing that happened, after several years in missionary work, some disease swept the... And back in the 1800s, there was not all the modern drugs. If God doesn't decide to let you live, just like anyone else, he lost his child. And then he lost his wife. What good is just raw power when you're that broken? What good is this anointing? You think you go to the cemetery and use your wife and child and you just go out there, oh, hallelujah, I got victory, nothing gets to me. It's not how it works. We feel. We hurt. He said, I stood beside the grave of my child and my wife. And he said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, they would have buried me before the month was out. With all his questions, with all his heartbreak, he continued to preach the gospel with joy. Full of faith. Amen. In another way of saying that same thing is the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Can you say amen? And I'm here today because his grace is sufficient for me. Can you say amen? And I'm declaring to you without even knowing your situation, not even standing in your shoes, his grace is sufficient for you too. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So you can say, because of the sufficiency of his grace, I can do all things. And in the context, it is not just going out and laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. That's the power and the authority. I'm not talking about power and authority yet. I'm talking about sufficient grace. Hallelujah. 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 The most powerful, consistent ministers that have ever lived are grace-centered, grace-based. Because they know I would not be standing except for the grace of God. They appreciate it. They appropriate it in their own life. And they are wonderful at conveying that message to other people. In Pentecost, we were power-centered. We were power-centered. Everybody wanted the vision, the dream, the word from the Lord, the gift, the anointing. We didn't examine grace. We didn't get grace-based. We didn't. And they fell one by one. Mighty, how art the mighty fallen? It was as if they had not been anointing. That proves the power is not what keeps you. I know as many tongue-talking failures as I do people that have never received the Holy Ghost. And I was told when you get the Holy Ghost, your days of defeat are gone. I know people that will cut you to pieces with their tongue and talk in tongues on Sunday. So, I'm not belittling tongues. I'm telling you, you need more than a come tie my bow tie. If you were a missionary for Jesus Christ in a foreign field and you lose your wife and your child, there better be something more than the ability to talk in tongues and shout. You need something undergirding you that God says, I'll grant you when you need it. Another missionary from Moody went out from Moody Bible Institute. They were in a Muslim country as we close. Had been there for 5 years. Husband and wife, no children. Wholly dedicated to propagating the gospel. A man came to the door, knocked on the door. The door was always open to help in any way they could. The husband was out in a meeting. The wife opened the door. As soon as she opened the door, he put a gun to her forehead and dropped her. He said, help me. He said, did I question God? I questioned everything. But he said, there's one thing I did not question. What came on me? That I couldn't stand under this. What came upon me, I could not question. And that's the sufficiency of His grace. And you know what that man's doing today? He said, I'm going to put forth a double effort to share the gospel. He's sharing the gospel with the very people and possibly the man that shot his wife dead. And the gospel wouldn't have got out of town if there wasn't a sufficient grace to carry it. Because everybody that carried it suffered for it. Can you say amen? 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 Without exception. And they had to have something more than just the mandate to go and the anointing. They had to have a presence in their life that could come alongside and lift them up and hold them and embrace them. We need to get rid of the attitude. See, Paul looked at people going through things, the pressure, and he said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. See, the tribulation will always be part of the Christian life, that in this world you shall have the pressure of a fallen world, but you've got a faithful Father. Can you say, man? And He has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you. Even unto the end of the age, that we might what? Sit back and complain, sit back and deny that His grace is sufficient. No, that we might boldly say, with God's help. With God's help. With God's help. My wife said the other day, because I had a stroke, she had made a statement to my son. I don't know what I'd do. We've been married 40 years. We got married at 14 and 60. We grew up together. We're just together. And to lose someone you've been with for 50 years, what if God had called me home? What? She doesn't have any idea, she said, how she would cope with that. Except one thing. It would take one thing. God would have, because my son, he's... She told him, he told me, his mama told me, said, I wouldn't call you because I'd be apart. And she said, she's right. I'd be so apart I couldn't help mom. My other son has got a mental disability, and he would sympathize, but he couldn't really be strong. Her mama's dead, my mama's dead, my daddy's dead, her daddy's up in years, had a heart condition and distant in Chattanooga. A brother in Arkansas that's an engineer driving a train. There's nobody to come around anymore except you guys. One thing she did say, she said, our church may be little, but I knew if I was in trouble, they would pray. They would come around me in prayer. That's what makes us significant, isn't it? We do have potential here because there's people like that here. Amen. But the most important thing she said was, God would have to help me. God would have to help me. See, this is not about power and gifts and charismata. This is about the grace of God and the promise of God and the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If God wants to do something here and there's a mountain in the way, I am fully prepared to say unto that mountain. We do things too. We, without faith without works, is dead. So we need to do, put legs on our prayers. But if there's a mountain, we say to that mountain, be thou removed. Doubt not in our heart. that what we say is going to come to pass. Why? Because he hath already spoken it. Can you say, man? It's not us calling the shots. It's us signing on to what God, what he has loosed in heaven, we loose upon the earth. What he has bound in heaven, we bind upon the earth. This is how the kingdom keys and authority operates. I got to tell you one more thing about that. Listen to it. Listen to it. Oh my. I got to quit. Somebody hold me back. I'm so introverted. It's so hard to keep preaching. Can you say, man? No, ever since I said I can, I will. If he wants me to, by his help and grace, amen, then I've had to put on the brakes to try to stop. Amen. I feel him here today. There's a message here today. Amen. A centurion came to Jesus. We're going to close with this. Somebody say he means it this time. I hope it's true, but anyway, a centurion came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, I've got a servant at home that I love like a son. Come and heal him. No, he said, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. And he said, no, you don't have to come into my house. See, I'm a man over 100 soldiers. I've led them in battle. I've shed blood with my sword. I'm not worthy that a holy one like you should come under my roof. But I am a man under authority.
Yes, sir.
Under authority. Guess what happens when you're under authority? You have authority. He said, and I say unto them, go, and they go. And I say unto them, come, and they come. Speak the word only.
Yeah.
And my servant shall be healed. Yeah. You are a man, but you're under God's authority. And all you got to do is say it, and God is going to do it. Can you say amen? Anybody here been in the military? Did you have a commanding officer? How did he become a commanding officer? He followed orders. If he didn't follow orders, he ain't going to become nothing. But the man that's got the authority is the man who is submitted to authority. Guess what happens when we start submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Whether this happens or not, it's immaterial. It's whether you want it done or not. Can you say, man? But if you want it done, then in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to this mountain. Be thou removed! And there's no doubt in my heart that God's going to act on it, because it would be stupid, not accusing God, but it would be asinine. It would, for God to want something, will something, and then not participate in accomplishing it. Amen. So after I had a stroke, I said, boy, the church is going to get a lot less of me. And you have. But you're going to get more of the Holy Spirit. Because I've made up my mind, if he can't get a hold of you, I'll just wear myself out. It ain't going to help nobody. I get sick trying and worrying. I love you. I intercede for you. But I don't carry you like a burden on my back. I believe your God's big enough to take care of you. Maybe you haven't discovered that yet, but I believe your Christ can strengthen you. I believe he can save your family and mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Will you stand today? Amen. We're going to make a confession before we leave. Hallelujah. 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 Matthew Henry said about this, Christ which strengtheneth me denotes a present and continued act, not a one-time event, but a continual day-to-day, moment-to-moment. Everybody say day-to-day, moment-to-moment. I like the Amplified I really do. It says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It's different when it's all dependent on His grace and His power. Self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency does not mean self-confidence apart from Jesus Christ, but rather confidence that His provision for us is adequate for anything that we encounter. 2 Corinthians 3:5, last and closing scripture, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In other words, we have confidence because our sufficiency is of God. We take courage because He is our strength. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but I feel like traveling on today. I got scars and you got scars, emotional and otherwise. But I'm telling you, the Lord has been faithful. And we're in that number that John saw. Who are these? Who are all of these people out of America and China and South America and Korea and Vietnam? Who are these people from the Arctic down to Africa? Who are these people coming from the four corners of the earth out of every kindred, tongue, and nation? These are they that have come through great tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but great tribulation. And they have washed their robes, and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And the moment you get saved, God makes a covenant promise. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you even all the way through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to stand upon His Word. Can you say amen? Amen. Through it all. That's why Brother Norman is still here, scars and all. But he loves Christ. He knows His Word is true. And he can tell you, God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness, Brother Taylor? It ain't been easy. There's been a lot of rough roads. But can you tell them this morning about the sufficiency of God's grace? Ain't He faithful? Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Preacher of a mega church lost his son last night. 27 years old. Rick Warren, 40 Days of Purpose, that book, that bestseller, his son, 27, committed suicide. Rick Warren is telling people right now what God had to pull you through to convince you. It wasn't just words, was it, to get you through the loss of your daughter the same way. God's grace came all over you. Even though it hurt so bad, you felt so weak and overwhelmed, but here you are today. With your family and part of her family and your family now. And that's a challenge and all of these things. But there he stands today. And that man wouldn't tell you how strong he is and to face all of this.